Hey, 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 what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. You're listening to What's Happening, where we highlight local news and events for Bloomington and the surrounding region. Skip Daly here, flying solo this evening, but we will have on our show in just a little while the president of Monroe County Board of Commissioners, Julie Thomas, and going to be discussing mask mandates and annexation. And one disclaimer that we have is that the South Central Indiana News Network is not a medical advisory organization, and we believe that all the information is out there about vaccinations, and folks are of free will and have the ability at this point to consult with their families and their medical providers to make the best informed decisions for their own personal situation. All right, well, today is the 20th of August. Let's take a look back at this week in history. All the way back in 1954, on August the 16th, the very first issue of Sports Illustrated was published. On the 17th of August, in 1807, Robert Fulton's North River Steamboat left New York City for Albany on the Hudson River, and that was the very first commercial steamboat service in the world. On August 18th, 1920, the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution was ratified, guaranteeing women's suffrage. And on the 19th of August, 1985, local flavor, Scarecrow, the eighth studio album by John Cougar Mellencamp, was released, containing R.O.C.K. in the USA, Lonely All Night, and Small Town. Those were all top 10 hits. And on the 20th of August, 1866, U.S. President Andrew Johnson formally declared that the Civil War was over. And our celebrity birthday today, turning 73 years of age, none other than the singer and lyricist for Led Zeppelin, Robert Plant. And as I mentioned earlier, today we welcome the president of Monroe County Commissioners, Julie Thomas, and our community update is brought to us by the Porthole Inn at Lake Lemon, and the music of Jeff Cannon is featured this month. But first, your local news headlines are brought to us by American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, providing innovative and smart money options for life and health insurance and investments. American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, online at asbofindiana.com. Now here's what's happening. The charges against 38-year-old former Bloomington resident Vaux Booker will be heard by a judge yet to be determined by the Indiana Supreme Court, as each of the Monroe County criminal case judges have recused themselves. Booker has been charged with trespassing and battery stemming from an incident July 4th weekend in 2020 in which he saw and received national attention. Booker alleged that he was the victim of racial bigotry, claiming he was physically restrained while calls for a noose were being made. After the Indiana Department of Natural Resources completed their investigation, Special Prosecutor Sonia Learkamp recommended charges against Booker, as well as the two others involved in the incident, Sean Purdy and Jerry Cox. Sullivan County Coroner Tracy Tackett was found dead in a vehicle early this week, according to Sullivan County Sheriff Clark Codom. Tackett was found dead in a vehicle on County Road 300 North and County Road 225 East in Sullivan of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. The department had reported Tackett missing after he suddenly left an apartment on Monday morning, which he shared with his girlfriend. Sheriff Codom says it wasn't clear if he intended to leave town or hurt himself. Indiana State Police are investigating the incident. Last week, Indiana State Police confirmed an ongoing investigation involving Tackett after he allegedly sent messages to a person posing as a 14-year-old girl from Expose Your Local Pedophile. The Indiana University Board of Trustees has elected W. Quinn Buckner as the new chair of the trustees and Mary Ellen Kylie Bishop as the vice chair. The board's nominating committee elected the officers during the board's organizational meeting on August the 12th. The chair of the board presides over all trustees' meetings, names, and identifies the duties and responsibilities of all committees and fills committee vacancies. Late last week, there were two traffic accidents in the region which involved school buses. An Owen County school bus was traveling north of Gosport on State Road 67 when it was forced into the shoulder as a car heading southbound and described as driving erratically crossed the center line. This incident claimed the life of 61-year-old Ronald Denton Jr. of Indianapolis. He was the driver of the vehicle in question. And also on August 13th, in a separate and unrelated incident, MCCSC had a bus veer off of East North Shore Drive in Unionville, hitting a tree. One of the three students that then occupied the bus was flown by a Lifeline helicopter to Riley Children's Hospital with what was described at the time as serious injuries. It has since been reported that the child is recovering from several broken bones. And the city of Bloomington announced its response to the growing complaints of public nuisance violations. Mayor Hamilton released a statement on improving public safety in public spaces, specifically parks, streets, and sidewalks, saying, quote, "In recent months, the city has continued to enforce existing city of Bloomington parks policies relating to suspension from parks due to prohibited behavior," end quote. The statement identified the actions it will take, including discouraging illegal and dangerous behavior in any location throughout existing civil statutes related to the use of public spaces, governing public health, or other legitimate means, an increase in police patrols and enforcement of policies as warranted by persistence of illegal and unsafe behaviors, as well as to supplement private security personnel recently contracted to enhance safety at city park properties, and to enhance public safety capacity in order to have the ability to respond to dangerous and illegal behaviors in a timely fashion. And those are your local headlines. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com.
So here it comes, the story of how I became a ghost. I saw her sitting all alone, so I offered up my name, and then my reasons why, and she did me the same.
Welcome back. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. Skip Daly here, and that was the music of Jeff Cannon. Our community update is brought to us by the world-famous family-friendly Porthole Inn, the gem of Lake Lemon. The Porthole features amazing food and outdoor live music, including every other Tuesday hosting the Bloomington Blues Jam. Indiana University Athletics has announced the date of the 2021 Hoosier Hysteria at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. The date is Saturday, October 2nd. Mark that on your calendars, and the public will be welcome to cheer on their men's and women's basketball programs as the kickoff of the seasons. Hoosier Hysteria, presented by Smithville, is free to attend, with fans being asked to donate a canned food item to benefit Hoosier Hills Food Bank. The event's start time will be finalized after the kickoff time for the IU-Penn State football game that same day is set. The information and other details will be released as they become available. And this week's guest, we finally were able to bring her back. It's none other than Monroe County Commissioner Julie Thomas. Now, Commissioner Thomas, are you still the president of County Council? You were previously of County Council. Are you still the acting president of the County Commissioners? Sorry.
I am. In 2021, I am president of the Board of Commissioners.
You've been serving the public here as a former county council member and now as a commissioner. Am I missing any other elected offices that you've had?
That's it.
You've been doing that for how long now?
I was first elected in 2008, so since 2009, January.
Wow.
A long
All
time.
Right. Well, we appreciate your service. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, it's been a little while since we've had you on the show. Are you and loved ones doing well, staying healthy?
We are. I am wearing my mask wherever I go out into the public, and I hope that others are as well, although my last vaccination shot was at the end of March. So I am still wearing my mask because I want to continue to protect my loved ones, the community, and myself.
Now, that's a great segue. You were talking about masks. So in 2020, obviously, coronavirus took off and the pandemic began. And you guys, as a board of commissioners, along with, well, at the time also, I believe the governor had mandated several, but you put some mandates in place about face coverings. And then sometime this summer, late spring, you eased up on things. And about 3 weeks ago, the mandates came back. Talk to us about the decision to ease up and to not mandate the face coverings, and then what the decision-making process was to bring that back about 3 weeks ago.
Right. And, you know, I just want to start by saying we're so grateful to our health department, our health director, and the board that serves that department. They've been amazing throughout this pandemic and worked a ton of hours to keep this community safe. And indeed, when we had very low positivity rates, infection rates in our community with the old coronavirus, it was time to drop the mask mandates. And clearly, we're eager for that time when it's ripe again. What happened is Delta. Delta is different from the previous coronaviruses that we've had or mutations that we've had. This is a mutation that impacts even vaccinated people differently. So somebody who's vaccinated may be carrying the virus now, which wasn't true before. And because of that, and they may or may not get sick and they may get mildly ill. But because of that, that puts the people in the community who cannot get vaccinated in greater risk. And in order to protect especially children under 12, those who are immunocompromised or can't get the vaccine for another reason, that's why we put the mask mandate back. This is all science driven. This is not, yes, it is public policy, but it is science driven. And our rates this week are 140 per 100,000. Well, that doesn't sound like a lot, but that then exponentially increases if we don't have a mask mandate in place.
I'm going to interrupt you real quickly. You said 140 against 100,000. Go ahead and explain in layman's terms what that means.
So what we do is, using the CDC, they have what they call a substantial risk for the pandemic, and especially with the Delta variant. And you can go to the CDC website and look at where all the counties in Indiana are. And then at a certain point, you cross over into high risk. We're not at high risk, but we're darn close. And that means that it's in a very infectious environment. So we know that those numbers are going up. And if we don't do something to protect those, especially those who cannot get vaccinated, we're going to suffer a lot as a community. We don't want to go back to closing down businesses. We don't want to go back there. And that's what we're trying to do, is trying to keep everybody as safe as possible. At some point, this variant will wane, but it's important for people to get the vaccine. It is very important to get the vaccine because people are saying, but there are breakthrough cases. Yes, there are, but not nearly the number. And certainly the severe illness is avoided once you get the vaccine. So this will help us prevent the next variant. The reason there are variants is because there's so many unvaccinated people in the world. And that allows the virus to spread. And as it spreads, it mutates, it becomes stronger. And at some point, if it's allowed to continue to run this course, it will eventually make the vaccines that we all work so hard to get less effective. And so we're seeing this first inkling of how that works. And right now it is in terms of carrying a viral load, even though you are vaccinated with the Delta variant.
All right. I'm still trying to make sure I have my hands wrapped around those numbers. 140 against 100,000. Is that 140 positive tests for coronavirus against 100,000 tests being given?
100,000 population. For clarity, you can go to the State Health Department website and you can see all of the statistical information, both about the vaccination rate in Monroe County and the infection rate in Monroe County.
Now, obviously, we want that number to be zero, but that's not reality at this point in time. At what number of that 100,000 population would the county commissioners look at moving forward in removing that mandate?
That is a great question. So two things. First, we always want that number to be low, of course, and low over a couple of weeks, not just one low week and then it jumps back up again. So it takes a couple weeks. And again, people can watch the Indiana Department of Health website and can see the vaccination rate. They can see the infection rate both here and in surrounding counties. And what we do is we hear from the health department. So that is a great question for the health department and the health board.
All right. We will do our best to get that question answered. We will reach out to the Monroe County Health Department and see what they have to say about that. So the mandate you put in place, I want to say it was August 4th or August 6th that it took effect. It was on a Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Did that particular order have a ceiling?
You mean an end date?
Cutoff date.
Yes, we're in yellow now, and it's when we move back into the lower tier of infection rates. And that was, in fact, shows you the great benefit of constituent involvement. That was because somebody had called into the health board meeting I happened to be watching and had said, when does this end? What's the end date? And so there is an end date on it. I believe it's the end of September. I don't have it in front of me. But if we fall below the yellow back into the blue, then this mask mandate will be lifted at that time. And that is that 1 to 2 week period, because you don't fall into blue the immediate week after your infection rate goes down. It takes another week of that low number before they bump you back down.
All right. So the way I understand it is this current order will end the end of September with an almost certain automatic renewal, unless if we fall back into the next lower tier, which you said was blue, and that would be mandated for a minimum of 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes. That would mean we'd have to be in the blue for a couple of weeks before they move us down into that level. And that's all through the State Department of Health website.
All right. And you also talked about not wanting to put mandates together for businesses that were more strenuous than the face covering mandate. What would determine those scenarios?
We would look for the advice of the health director and the health department in consultation with the health board. If they saw, I hope this doesn't happen, but if they saw a huge spike in infections into the red, for example, they may want to make other recommendations. We don't know that. And again, we're being driven by science. So we as a board don't say, well, here's what we want. We say, what's going on and what do you need us to do?
Talk to us about who this mandates.
Okay. So this mandate applies to the entirety of Monroe County, whether you live in a city, a town, or you don't. It includes the school corporations and it includes the incorporated areas. Each of these incorporated areas do not have their own health department. We have a health department and our health department serves the entire county.
All right. So what you're saying is the county health department issued this order. You approved it and you approved it upon all of the incorporated areas within the county. They don't need to separately approve the health department's order.
Correct. And the reason we are doing this step of Board of Commissioner approval, we always heard these items at commissioner meetings, is because of the change in state law that requires the legislative body verify and approve officially a health order. So that's what we do.
All right. Well, thank you for that information, Commissioner Thomas. We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, what's going on with annexation? You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
I had a dream last night. I dreamt that finally the fear was gone. And I woke up in your arms and I realized I was hanging on. Fear, like waiting by the phone.
And we're back. You're listening to What's Happening, and that was the music of Jeff Cannon, local musician. And today, our guest is President of Monroe County Commissioners, Julie Thomas. Now, Commissioner Thomas, we were talking about the face covering mandate before we went to break, and you're giving us all the information. And you also told us that some of those questions need to be directed to the Monroe County Health Department. So we're going to look for those answers and we'll report back to our audience. However, our next line of questioning for you is about annexation. Now, back in 2017, Bloomington Mayor Hamilton announced he was interested in annexing, in the realm of 10,000 acres. Governor signed law and that was overruled by the court systems. So we're back with the mayor's plan for annexation. Prior to court cases, the county commissioners and the mayor's administration seemed to be at odds in terms of some communication. Where are you guys right now in terms of communication? And then when we figure that out, we'll start talking about the annexation.
Well, I would just say that we have the three of us, Lee Jones, Penny Giffens, and myself, have all reached out to city council members and the mayor, and we've had some discussions, which is good. I will leave it at that. We've had some communication.
All right. So what we can say is that you guys are communicating at this point. So talk to us about the annexation. You guys being the Board of Commissioners and the County Council here in Monroe County, have authorized a study by a private consulting firm. Talk to us about that study and what you learned from it.
Sure. So as part of the requirements for annexation, the city of Bloomington has to include a financial impact statement, not only for the city, but for all of the other governing units, all the government units that collect taxes. Because an annexation impacts more than the city and it impacts more than individual residents. It certainly impacts residents and their bottom line. But we commissioned that study to find out what outside firm would say is the impact, the fiscal impact on Monroe County and the other taxing units. And what we found is $2.7 million annual revenue loss for Monroe County, which is a very high number, higher than the city's firm had stated. We also found revenue losses of $486,000 to the Monroe County Community School Corporation, $273,000 annual loss to the library, and the Monroe County Fire Protection District will be losing $500,000 annually. This all adds up, and it means that residents either have to pay more or have fewer services available to them. And that's if this whole annexation area goes through. We found a number of reductions that they noted in the city's report were spot on, but we also noted that there were many instances where the revenue impact was much greater than the city had estimated.
So at this point, with the proposed annexation, should it go through as it is currently proposed, and I do believe recently the mayor did withdraw one of the zones. I don't have that information in front of me. So perhaps that $4 million in total revenue loss that you're talking about throughout the county and some of the services might be slightly reduced, perhaps. However, what are, with that annexation proposed to go through here over the next 3 to 4 years, what is the county looking to do to prepare itself for that loss?
Well, I preparation is about budgets. And when you talk about budgets, you need to talk to the county council. That's the fiduciary arm of county government. We are, as the Board of Commissioners, the executive and legislative branch. I do think it's important for county taxpayers who are targeted for annexation to know that they can find out the impact of annexation on their own property taxes based on the current tax year by going to co.monroe.in.us and go to that website, and you'll see it in the red banner, a tax estimator tool. This was prepared for us. We did not expect this, and it was a nice little bonus by the Baker Tilly CPA group that reviewed the city's fiscal plan. And they walk you through the whole thing on how to figure it out. And it would be based on current tax year. And of course, in the future, those numbers will likely increase. They do. But at least residents will have a sense of what's going on. And residents do need to be informed. They need to be paying attention to what the city council is doing. They need to be emailing and calling city council members. And they need to be aware of what happens if the council passes the ordinance in September. That will have a few years of time, if it passes, for it would become in effect for residents in terms of their property taxes. However, if the council passes an ordinance and they may alter the borders, and again, they took out Area 7 just recently, and of course, our financial statement doesn't reflect that because that was just done. There's no way to keep up with these moving parts and all these changes that are going on. But residents will have opportunity to remonstrate. And that's a legal petition against annexation. And some folks do have what's called a waiver in place on their property, on their parcel, which is called a waiver of remonstrance, is the long name. And basically, to get sewer service from the city of Bloomington, many residents signed off on this. It may have been a developer. It may have been the resident themselves. It may have been an owner, two or three owners back of the parcel in the house. So who knows? But if you're not sure if you have a waiver, it doesn't matter. You can still remonstrate. Now, by recent state law changes, the waivers now expire after 15 years. But again, you could still remonstrate. There's no penalty. There's no fee to remonstrate. There's no impact on you at all. If you're not sure, you can remonstrate if you don't want to be annexed. If you do want to be annexed, do nothing and it'll happen. We're just encouraging residents to become informed about what happens to their tax bill. I've met a lot of folks in the community who are targeted for annexation over the last few months. I think the thing that bothers me the most is how it will impact people who really never wanted to live in the city, wanted to live in the county, and are now facing a much higher property tax bill, sometimes 30% higher, sometimes much higher. Sometimes it's $2 higher, which is a no-brainer, right? But for some folks, it is a lot higher. And there are people in the community who are on a fixed income, especially in the county, who cannot afford an increase in taxes and will have to move. And this may be a home they own for 20, 30 years. They raised their children and they're now retired and they cannot afford the city property tax increase that would come with annexation. So it is going to impact a lot of people. And that's who we're really thinking about. And it's great to have this tax estimator tool so people can become informed about what may happen to them fiscally. And it's also important for residents to stay in tune and in touch with what's going on so that they know when it is time to remonstrate. It's not time yet, but there will be a time when it's time to fill out that petition if you don't want to be annexed. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that residents are informed about their rights and their opportunities to remonstrate.
All right. So one more time, folks can go to co.monroe.in.us. That's co.monroe.in.us. And they can find your tool, which will explain what a proposed annexation would do to their property taxes moving forward.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, as commissioners, we don't often come out as a group, as a board and make statements, but we did make a statement last week at our board meeting that we were opposed to this annexation. We're opposed to the process of it, the size of it. 6,600 parcels is a lot to try to annex at once. And, you know, in years past, I've learned from previous county commissioners and city councilors who served decades ago that in the past, annexation was positively embraced by the community when the city goes out and meets with people and finds out what their needs are and talks to them about what might happen and how it'll impact them, the services they'll get, what they won't get, and bring people on board and then do the annexation process. And they have had very few remonstrances in past annexations. But this is really, it's really dividing the community. There's a lot of anger. It's justifiable, but we really want people to not get angry, but to get informed and to act and to reach out to their neighbors if they choose to.
Well, all right, that is wonderful information, and we will do our best to throw that information out to our audience. Hopefully you and I can stay in good communication here moving forward. Now, Commissioner, we had talked about perhaps discussing the county development proposals. Of course, everyone's curious about what else is going on, and perhaps information, if you have it, about the new Monroe County Library building and perhaps the convention center. Those are all topics that we're going to have to, unfortunately, hold off on. But can we get a commitment to bring you back on soon?
Absolutely.
Go ahead and close us out.
I would just remind residents that to participate in the county's development ordinance, the zoning maps are being worked through right now. There are 4 meetings coming up with the public. These are outdoor meetings, so they will be safe. We do ask people to wear masks. Everything from August 30th at Park, Smithville Diamonds, August 31st, Thursday, September 2nd at Cars Farm Park, Wednesday, September 8th at Danny Smith Shelter on East State Road 45. These all begin at 6 p.m. in a sheltered area, so in case it rains. Please do attend and provide your input. We're going to be looking at those specific areas where we're meeting.
All right, Commissioner, thank you so much for joining us. We would also like to thank our friends over at the Porthole Inn for sponsoring our community update, and Jeff Cannon for providing music for the month of August. On behalf of Julie Beasley and the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Join us Fridays as we keep you in touch with what's happening.